Hey everybody, welcome back to another season of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host Jun Tian, that's me. In this season, we are exploring the intersectionality of authenticity with an ethnic flair and success. I am so excited to be able to provide this platform to bring on the voices of Asian Americans, particularly Asian American females, so that they can share their stories of how they have overcome social and cultural conditioning, as well as their own personal stories in order to find their own success. This is a super powerful season. I cannot wait for you guys to hear their stories. I am breaking down cultural norms for you. Let's get started.
Welcome to episode 4 of Being Unapologetically Authentic, where we have a special guest today, Alex Chester Iwata. Alex, pronouns she, her, is an actor and the editor-in-chief of Mixed Asian Media, a collaborative media platform for mixed APIs recognized by Nielsen Consumer Report on Asian Americans. She is also the director of Mixed Asian Media Fest, which is a festival celebrating mixed APIs through the creative lens. This year, she was honored as one of the top 50 unsung heroes of Asian Hustle Network's Uplifted Conference. Alex graduated with honors in May 2021 with her Bachelor of Arts through St. Mary's LEAP program. She is the first person from LEAP to receive the Dean's Award for Academic Excellence and Community Engagement. Alex has been acting since she was 5 years old, growing up being one of the only mixed Asian kids in the entertainment industry. She never saw anyone that looked like her on stage and screen. The lack of representation for the mixed API community led her to start MAM. She is a community builder, has been featured in Shoutout LA, East Side Stories, The Mixed Space, AAPI Democracy Project, and Theater Art Life. And we are so excited to have her on. In this episode, we talk with Alex as she shares with us her experience in the entertainment industry, how she never felt as if she really belonged and or that she was Asian enough, what motivated her to start MAM, why representation is important, and how to embrace your whole self and how that was critical to Alex for her success. I can't wait for us to get started. Bye, guys.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Alex Chester Iwata. I am the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Mixed Asian Media. It's an online media platform for mixed Asian Pacific Islanders. So we do interviews, we do articles, we do op-ed pieces, and it's all through the mixed API perspective.
I love that. And then so I want to understand from your perspective, because I think part of the reason you felt compelled, if I read your bio correctly, mm-hmm. is that you're also a mixed Asian as well.
Correct. I am half Japanese, half Ashkenazi Jew. My dad was Japanese American. I'm third generation on both sides.
Awesome.
And I grew up in the entertainment industry. So I was a child actor, and that was very interesting to navigate. Still is very interesting to navigate as a mixed Asian actor, for sure.
And well, I want to definitely dig into that. But then before we get started and into the professional aspect of your life, I'd really like to take this opportunity to kind of talk about the personal aspect of your life and how, from an authenticity perspective, being mixed has impacted you, right? Because I think, you know, and there's a part of me that's like, yes, I understand what you mean by like mixed in terms of mom and dad being different of different backgrounds. And so you're a combination of both and mm-hmm. more, right? Based off of their heritage as well. But also like, you know, being just, even if we didn't have mixed ethnicities within our bloodline, the fact that we are Asian in a different country, not necessarily in Asia or
jurisdiction, yes.
that kind of brings up a lot of mixedness to our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then so like, I'd love to hear from your perspective growing up, how did the mixed cultures and the mixed ethnicities impact you in terms of finding your authenticity, finding your identity? And, you know, do you relate more to one versus another? And I probably have more questions, but I'll let you answer the first three.
Okay, sure. So growing up, in Orange County, California, where my elementary school was, I was really one of the only Asian kids, first of all, let alone mixed kids at school. So that was very weird to navigate just because I didn't have anyone that looked like me to relate to. And obviously, there was no one on TV or film that looked like me. We had such little Asian representation, let alone mixed representation. So that was just kind of like, who am I? What am I? And it's taken me a very long time to finally feel comfortable with my own skin and just embrace both sides of myself. And also then now navigating being Asian American versus Asian Asian, as I say, where it's you know, we have people are always like, oh, you've lost your culture, you've lost your heritage. And it's like, have we, or have we created something else? You know, it's there's so many nuances to being Asian American, especially here in the States. And I think all like there's no really wrong or right answer. It's really what you are comfortable with and what you can come to terms with for yourself. Like I don't feel the need. I mean, I do sometimes. I'm not gonna say I don't, but I'm getting better at not feeling the need to prove my Asianness. That, you know what, I am Asian American. You know what, I am third generation. That does mean that my dad didn't speak Japanese. I don't speak Japanese. And same thing, like I don't speak Yiddish on my mom's side. It goes both ways. And it's we just be kind of become this melting pot of blended cultures. Like I eat pretty much everything under the sun. And I think that's because not only living in New York City and just being exposed to so many cultures, but also because I grew up with eating everything in sight to begin with. And I think a lot of people maybe don't necessarily have that. But I definitely think it's something with Asian Americans. We definitely get lumped into this diaspora of your Asian American. It's not Japanese American, it's not Chinese American. I mean, we do have those offshoots, but it's Asian food, right? We're all lumped underneath Asian. So I think it's just being able to come to terms with that and creating our own identity from that and feeling authentic and comfy in that space.
I
It's
love
taken me a
that.
while. It's taken me a
Yeah.
while.
And I love that because I think you have touched upon like this complexity and this nuance of being mixed API that I think others may not necessarily have experienced before. So if you don't mind me kind of asking, like, what was it like to not feel Asian enough or Jewish enough or, you know, whatever enough, right? Because you're right. Like coming in multi generations, you have that heritage line, but you're not necessarily, I don't know, like, I don't want to call it stereotypical, but I'll call it like stereotypical, like, you know, Asian or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, if I even went to Japan, I was supposed to go to Japan in 2020, and obviously that got canceled and it was going to be my first trip. But we don't have, I mean, we probably have some like distant cousins there, but we're not in touch with them. The family, the Iwata family, is not in touch at all. So it's not like I would be coming home per se. It's still, I'm coming to visit a foreign country. There is no one to take me under the wing and being like, welcome to the Iwata family in
Right.
Japan. There's no one like that. So,
Right.
yeah, I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, no. So the question is really, you know, how did you, I guess, how did you work through not being enough Asian or enough Jewish or whatever, you know,
Yeah.
in both areas, right?
Therapy has helped. Definitely has helped me like just embrace myself. And also finding community has really helped me. Growing up really was the only mixed kid that I was seeing in the entertainment industry and constantly being told by agents and producers and casting that, you know, you're just not Asian enough or you're just not white enough and we really don't know what to do with you. You don't fit into this family. 'Cause back then, God forbid, we have a multicultural family on TV. Now it's definitely changing. Thank goodness. But that definitely played off my head. So it really, like, I at one point I dyed, I mean, I have dark brown hair even from the roots, but I dye my hair all colors now. But at one point I had dyed my hair like black, literally trying to, oh, there's a siren outside. I'm in New York City, so apologize for the flashing lights. But I had dyed my hair like black to like try to be more Asian looking, but it still wasn't quite it. I've gone blonde before. This is not my second time being blonde with purple. And I finally just, got sick and tired of trying to lump myself into a box that I didn't fit. And like I said, moving to New York City, meeting all these other mixed APIs and finding community has really helped me just feel comfy and feel like, oh, I can just be me. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. And of course there's code switching is involved still. Like I absolutely like if I'm in an Asian restaurant and they hand me a fork, I'm like, no, no, no. I'm half Japanese. I do know how to use chopsticks. Do not hand me that fork.
Right.
And I feel like I have to like explain that note. And then, cause especially usually the conversation then goes then, well, you don't look half Japanese. And I'm like, well, what's a half Japanese person supposed to look like?
Right.
Yeah. Like I show me.
Should I look more Japanese then, or should I look less Japanese?
Yeah, it's or you know, you look Mexican. Are you sure you're not Mexican? No, took 23andMe. I'm not Mexican, so
that's too funny. And then, how about like from your parents? Did you ever feel any pressure to be more of something in terms of like either it's from your dad more of Japanese or from your mom more of Jewish? Like, were there pressures there when you were growing up that you felt was impacting your relationships?
So I was really mostly, my dad was not involved in my early childhood until I would say I was in my late teens, early 20s is when he became more of a presence. But my Japanese side, I think because they were interned to begin with, really kind of try to not be Japanese, you know, try to acclimate. Fortunately or not fortunately, like a nice white farmer took care of their farm in Southern California, so they had something to go back to after internment. But I know that really did mess with my grandparents' heads. How could it not? Even if it's not spoken of, that you can't tell me that didn't impact them. As for my Jewish side, I was raised kosher, not now because I eat everything under the sun. And I would say maybe from my grandmother, she just didn't want me. She wanted me to, I guess, feel like I belong. So she wanted me to have that Jewish sense, like that you are a Jewish woman because your mom is Jewish. And I don't want to say they didn't want me to be Japanese, but because I was raised by mom and grandma, I definitely had more of a Jewish aspect to my upbringing.
I love that. And then so now today, what was the key in finding Alex and in finding your unique identity where you've been able to like accept and blend and create your authenticity?
Age and trial and error absolutely have taken place. Therapy has really helped. And my friends who are also mixed Asian, not being in a space where you feel safe and where you feel seen and heard and not feeling like you have to prove yourself either way has really helped me embrace myself and stop caring so much about what people think of me. Yeah. I've dyed my hair with what color I want, and maybe casting doesn't like it. Too bad. Right. You know, it's what makes me happy at the end of the day. Can I live with myself at the end of the day? Is what it's come down to. So it really has taken a lot of people and a lot of work on myself just to kind of be like, it's my life. I'm choosing to embrace all sides, and people can accept it or not. And if they don't want to accept it, that's really not my problem.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And is that what motivated you to create mixed Asian media?
Yeah, I would say a lot of things. So we had, you know, in 2015, we had the movie Aloha with Emma Stone, who was playing a mixed API, and she was not of any Asian heritage. She's a white girl. So that kind of was like, that started the conversation really going of being really frustrated, but here was a chance for Hollywood to do this and they didn't. And then you had Ghost in the Shell, right? Where there was complete Asian erasure with Scarlett Jo. So I think all these conversations that we were starting, my friends and I were starting to have, and just not seeing ourselves reflected in mainstream media led me to create what it was. We were originally called Hapa Mag. And that's how we started, literally a group of like 9 writers publishing a select number of pieces every quarter. And then since then we've grown and expanded. Last year, we rebranded to Mixed Asian Media. We were also recognized by the Nielsen Consumer Report on Asian Americans, which is like huge, being listed as 1 of 3 online magazines in the report. Then now we have 24 international staff members. So we've grown so much, and we've seen the need for this. Yeah. And people want to have a voice. Of course they do. Who doesn't?
And I think, you know, kind of touching on what you had shared earlier when we were talking more about your personal, you know, upbringing too, is this aspect of representation, right? And I think that the success of mixed Asian media just shows just how important representation is.
Yes.
Regardless of whether you're mixed or not, or whatever race that you're from, like representation matters so much. People want to see themselves represented.
Of course they do. I think it's so important. I mean, we've seen such an uptick on Asian representation, right? Finally, we're like, we got Crazy Rich Asians. We have Easter Sunday, and hopefully there's more things in the works. Yes. And it's just, we have to support each other, and we have communities of color have to be there for one another, because otherwise we're just falling underneath the systemic, you know, white lens and fighting against each other. And that's, there's space for everyone. I truly believe that.
Yeah. And then, so I definitely agree with you too. And then, so like, do you think though that right now we need more representation? Do you think that the representation that we currently have is enough? Is it fast enough? Like that, you know, are we gaining enough representation at a fast enough speed as well? And in terms of the portrayal that we get, like Joe Coy, in terms of Easter Sunday, I haven't watched the movie yet, but I love the fact that he was told so many times that this doesn't resonate with us. And, you know, he took the opportunity to create something that resonated with a lot of people just like him. It's not going to resonate with the white people or the other people that didn't go through the same struggles, right? So, but anyway, side note. So, but do you think that the representation in media today of Asians and mixed Asians alike is enough?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, white people have everything under the sun, right? Like everything. So why can't we have the same thing as they have?
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. And then go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, and that's the thing, like, you know, Crazy Rich Asians is only going to, is not all the Asians. It's not all representation. It's of the upper class, right?
Yep.
And then Joe Coy is about the Filipino experience. So like, we just need more of those stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And what stories would you love to see portrayed more of? Like, what do you think are the untold stories that more people need to better understand and see more of within the, you know, Asian and mixed Asian category?
I mean, I think for both, it has to be everything. Like, we need to have Japanese American stories, where it really hasn't been any internment stories or any stories about the World War II during that time. Why hasn't there been? I think that'd be a great biopic. There needs to be stuff about not necessarily even like the immigration. It needs to just be about people, like Asian Americans playing normal people like we are, and going about our lives. And it can range from everything from like a sci-fi movie to a period piece to a romance, right? It can be everything. I think we need to have all of that. I would love, you know, something for, especially for the mixed people and mixed Asian people. We're always kind of stuck in that ambiguous role. You don't quite know what we are. And we're like that ambiguous friend, but we never get to just be us. And I would love to see stories that have more of that type of representation, where there is like an Asian dad and a white mom, or a black dad and the Asian mom, you know, all of those colors, and telling those stories of what that looks like. Cause I think they're fascinating. And I think it's just, if we like watching white people fall in love on screen, why can't we watch a mixed couple fall on screen and have mixed babies?
Yeah. If anything, there's probably a lot more trials and tribulations to be told.
Oh my God. Right. With the families. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Especially if they're from different backgrounds and ethnicities, and there's so much that can be uncovered in this.
Absolutely.
Situation. So what do you think are the current challenges for creating more representation in media for the mixed Asians and the Asians?
I think it comes down to money, right? You have to get people with money to back your project, and you have to get people willing to create projects. And that takes time and energy and money. So really it always comes down to money. And we need more people in power in Hollywood that aren't the normal white producers producing the same old things over and over.
Yeah.
So that means, if that means creating your own company or creating your own script and pitching it to not necessarily, you know, the white run movie studio, but like finding that team that wants to support you, that's outside of the box. I think we need more indie films that can be made. I think that's a big step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so one thing too, that I wanted to talk about for representation is this aspect of one minority, all minority. Does that make sense to
yes.
you? And so, and it just, it's gotten a lot worse. I feel like it's gotten a lot more, it's certainly more aggravating for me personally. It's just to see one minority being represented on screen as capturing all minority. And you see
yes.
it in pictures, you see it in movies, and you know, how do you feel about that? And then, you know, what do you think creates that type of mentality within the media moguls? And, you know, what do you think, you know, would it be any different? And because one of the things I think you touch on in MAM's website is this aspect of inclusion, right? So this
yeah.
would very much touch on that inclusive aspect. And so, you know, how would you, from an MAM perspective, guide somebody to say like, hey, listen, one minority doesn't represent all, and here's what we need to be much more inclusive.
I think it comes down to educating these producers and people in positions of power and them willing to be educated and to take a step back and reevaluate everything. And that's a lot harder to said to be done, because I think these groups feel like, oh, we're gonna put a one minority and the problem's fixed. Look how woke we are. And it's just a band-aid. It's a band-aid over a major problem. You see that in the theater industry here in New York City,
yep.
for sure. Like, we're like, great, we have all these amazing BIPOC plays and musicals on stage, but the organization is still run by a old white guy. And their interns are all white, and the people behind the scenes are all white. So I think it's a combination of a couple of things. We need to educate like the next generation coming up and get them interested and invested in creating stories, because eventually that older generation is going to die out, as morbid as that sounds, right? And someone's got to take it over. So why not us? And I think it's also, social media is incredibly powerful. I really think the only reason why, like, the, what is it? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on words. I've been in so many Zooms today. I apologize.
That's okay.
You know, any like Black Lives Matter or when it was the Me Too movement, that was the word. I think yeah. social media has helped so much with these movements. And I feel like we need to take advantage of that on our end, which we have done with Stop AAPI Hate and all of those other ones as well. It's just a matter of really making sure our voices are heard and speaking up, because it's amazing. Our phones can do so much now, and we can access so many people now through the internet. It's just a matter of taking advantage of that and not being scared. I think a lot of people get scared that people might not like what they have to say, or they'll get the backlash, and then maybe they won't ever work in the industry again because they're being too vocal. And I think you just have to get to the point where you're just like, you know what? I don't want to work for that white guy telling these same old boring stories. I want to tell my story. So you know what? Sorry, screw you. I'm going to do my own thing. And just being brave enough to take that next step and finding the communities that are willing to support you for that. Like Strong Asian Lead, like Mixed Asian Media, like Blasian Project, like Blasian mm-hmm. March. There's so many of us out there that are willing yeah. to help support you. It's just a matter of, you may have to do a little research on your own.
I love that, because, and I love what you just said, because of the fact that I think there's a lot of us out there that think we're just singular as an individual, right? And how can we as an individual change the entire entertainment industry, which we understand has, or which I guess we're slowly understanding more of, you know, the corruption and all the
oh, yeah.
stuff that happens within, right? So, you know, what would you, because you are such a great example of someone who's seen the issue, has taken the issue and has addressed the issue. And now you're creating a space that is showing the mainstream media that there is another need that is really like percolating, like it's like boiling over, right? So what would you recommend to somebody who is feeling like you felt before you started Mixed Asian Media? How would you, like, what advice would you give this person who feels that like they're not represented, they're not being heard or seen, and they want to make the change, but they're just not sure how to?
Well, I would say the first thing is there's probably other people out there feeling just like you. And like I said, access the internet. I mean, that can be a dangerous, sticky slope, right? You don't want to suddenly have a bunch of creepers. But there are organizations and there are so many groups now that are established that are willing to help you with finding that community. And I mean, if you're mixed Asian and you feel alone, please reach out to me. I'm very welcoming and happy to chat with you. And if you have an idea, I'm happy to try to point you in the right direction as well. I'm hoping that eventually we'll get to the point where we have funds where I can be like, yes, I will support this. Right now I'm trying just to support ma'am. So hopefully eventually we'll get to that point, but there are communities out there. And I think it's just a matter of someone not being, I don't want to say lazy because that's such a terrible word. Just taking the next step and looking for it, doing the research or talking to your friends. The internet's amazing. You can find so many resources out there. And I think that, and if you don't see the resources, take the next step and create them. Create that group, grab your friends and be like, hey, I have this idea. What do you think about it? What have we created this ourselves? Because that's a big thing for me. If you don't see it, make it. Because like, I know Mixed Asian Media isn't going to be the end all for everyone. And some people think it should be. And I've always said, look, I'm doing my best to represent all the mixed Asians under the sun, but maybe I'll miss someone. So if you're seeing that, either let me know or go out and create it yourself.
I love it. I love it. And then, so tell us, what is Mixed Asian Media focused on and is working on currently? Like, what are some of its biggest projects?
So right now we have a festival coming up September 16th to the 18th, which would be the in-person portion in New York City, and starting the 14th through the 18th, you can access the virtual portion, which will have all the films that are in competition for festival awards and a few panels as well, like a director's panel, writer's panel, a couple like really cool mixed APIs that we wanted to feature. And then for the in-person portion, we have like a big party that's opening. We have a stand-up comedy night with mixed Asians that are performing. We have Jessica Henwick's directorial debut and writing debut. We have a few other screenings, Blurring the Colored Line, which is an examination of the South from the Asian and Black perspective and like coming together. What else do we have? We have a workshop brought to you by the Mixed Space, and we have some amazing sponsors. So we have, that's a big, big thing we have right now. We're currently working on a bunch of different articles. We have a few things lined up after the fest. And then in October, I'm speaking at ACE Next Gen's conference in October, talking about being mixed and talking about community and getting that 1.1 million reach, which I still really have no idea how I got it, but we got it.
Well, congratulations.
That's Thank you.
Amazing. All of your successes are so inspiring for anybody out there who just felt like we can't do it. Like, we absolutely can.
We can.
And we don't have to fit into mainstream to do it.
No.
I think that's really where the point is, right?
And I just want every, I mean, it takes years of dedication and hours of work. I can't even begin to, I don't even want to calculate how many hours I am on my computer in Zoom meetings, sending out emails, organizing interviews and making sure sponsors and all of that, and networking. You do also have to network. And that's something that I've really decided to embrace this year. Of course, we couldn't the past few years, we couldn't do that. But this year I'm really trying to say yes to events and going and say, and not being scared to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Here's my card. If you're interested, send me an email or give me your card and I'll send you an email. I think it's also being brave enough to put yourself out there, which can be very scary. And but once again, therapy helps. Talking it out with your friends, talking it out with someone you feel safe with. Because if you don't put yourself out there, then how will anyone know about it?
Yeah, I love that. And do you find that the networking aspect and really getting yourself out there and selling yourself, not, you know, in whatever way, but like, do you find that that was the biggest cultural norm you had to break free from in order to achieve the success that you've achieved?
Oh.
Or is was there another norm
No,
that you had to break free from?
absolutely. I mean, and to be perfectly honest, I am very much an introvert extrovert. I have to really force myself to put myself out there. Having something I'm very passionate about obviously has helped. But I also think culturally, as an Asian woman, it's not, let alone just being a woman, but adding the Asian or just being mixed on top of it, you're usually looked at someone that's just like, oh, you're just an object. You're pretty. Just stand there and shut up. Right. So I think having the guts to break that mold and be like, no, I'm not going to be quiet. And if you don't like what I have to say, then obviously you're not the person I want to work with. It does take guts, but more of us are doing it. And you're not alone. There's definitely a bunch of us that are out there trying to get our names out there, trying to get our organizations out there. It's just, it does take a lot of chutzpah and just to be brave. It's scary. I'm not gonna lie. It's very scary going to these conventions or going to a screening and putting yourself out there and saying, hey, I really like the work you did on that screen, or your panel was great. This is who I am. That's scary. I think it's terrifying still. And yeah. I've done it many, many times. And I'm just like, oh my God, okay, just breathe.
And I want to emphasize something that you said too, is this aspect of Asian American females. And I think the subconscious bias that others have of us, that we should be meek and, you know, and docile and quiet mm-hmm. and submissive. And the fact is that we don't have to be any of that.
No.
And that if we want something, we need to speak up and ask for it. And
yes.
It does not matter how the other person responds, because
no.
That's their problem, not ours.
You know what? What's the worst case scenario? They say no, then you move on. And yeah, of course rejection sucks, but I've been rejected so much and I just keep going. And I'm not saying that, like I said, that is not easy to do, but I really like to, I try to think of it as this: what would a white cis male do? Why can't I do that? Why can't any of us do that?
Yeah.
Make it the norm. You know, I hate when people are like, oh, you're too aggressive or you're too bossy. I'm like, would you say this to a white guy? No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. And I do that all the time. I think people, I tend to be a little bit loud and outspoken as well. And the feedback I get always is like, oh, well, you shouldn't say that. Oh, well, you know, da, da, da. Okay, whatever. But then I also think that a lot of us, and I live in New York as well, and I work in the city as well. I know we should totally meet up.
Oh my God, you have to come to the festival.
Okay.
I'll comp you.
Thank you. But I was, but you know, I think a lot of times, and I don't know if you've experienced this, is that like people will be extra aggressive to us because
yeah.
we are Asian American female. And then I'm always like, would you do that to a tall white guy or a tall
no.
black guy? I'm like, you would never even dare. And so I think, you know, part of the reason I wanted to focus this season on Asian American, especially female voices, is that we need to start to speak up.
Yes.
And all of this AAPI hate has really like even like, you know, made it even more obvious of how much we need to speak up. Because
Absolutely.
If we don't speak up, like the cultural norm is we put our head down and we do the work and people will leave us alone. No, they're not going to leave us alone anymore. That's just
No.
not how the world works anymore. And we have to speak up. We have to support each other. We have to speak up, because when Alex and I are together and we speak up together, there's, you know, the next time somebody's going to mess with us, they're going to, or mess with another Asian American female, they're going to think twice, because they're going to be like, oh no, wait, they're not all like that. They can, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to come back at me and I better not, you know, do something like that.
Oh.
And that's the re-education process that needs to happen. I'm not saying we go beat up everybody. That's like,
no,
but we stand up for ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
We're not going to be someone's walking like a mat. We're not going to let someone
that
walk
doormat.
On
yep.
doormat
exactly.
anymore. I mean, I was at this event, an Asian centric event. And I don't know why this white guy was there, but he was trying to educate me that it was my perspective, which is why that like I wasn't breaking down like the barriers because it was just in my head. And really, there was no such thing as the patriarchy. And I was just like, look, you are in a Asian American space and you need to keep your mouth shut and educate yourself because you are not welcome here.
That's awesome. Good for you. And then what did he
Oh,
do?
he was so mad. We
Of course he
actually
was, because he wasn't expecting it.
ended up having to call him out and ban him from a further events.
Good for you.
Because
Good for you.
I was like, really, dude, you're in my territory, my space, and you're going to try to tell me this?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I love it. I love it. Go, Alex. And I want to point out something to the audience too, is that you were able to do this and it was a safe environment. There were
Yes.
no severe repercussions. And I think that's something that we get so afraid of, like, oh, but if I speak up, what if this? Or if I say something, what if, you know, that, if I get in
Yes.
trouble? But no, like, even if we get in trouble, the fact is we can stand by our integrity to keep moving forward, right? Because the trouble isn't us. Like, we're, and I hate this concept of like, oh, you're a troublemaker. No, we're not a
We're not a
troublemaker.
troublemaker.
The troublemakers are those people, that guy that like thinks that they're going to come at us and like you and try to educate you about your feelings and how it's not real and how we all made it up in our heads. And it's like, yes, thank you, white guy who's never
It's like,
heard
oh my God, thank you
anything
so
before.
much for telling me this. Wow. Wow, white guy. And obviously, like, you know, that I want to just make it clear that make sure you are in a safe space.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't put yourself in any
Right.
harm's way. And there are, of course, trainings you can
Yeah.
do to navigate that as well. Cause I don't
Yes.
want anyone to be like, well, I'm just gonna get in someone's face. And
Yeah.
yeah, I'm
No,
like, no, don't do that,
that's
don't do
not what
that.
we're saying.
That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that.
Right. But I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, my
One
pleasure.
last question that I always like to ask my guests is, what is your definition of success and how have you been able to achieve it authentically?
Wow. So I would say my definition of success has really pivoted in the past several years. Like before, my definition, it was like, I'm gonna be a movie star and my name is gonna be on Broadway. And that has really changed for me. I would say my definition of success is having a community where I feel safe and seen and heard, and I am happy. I wake up happy and excited about the work I'm doing. To me, that is success. And that doesn't mean I'm not stressed out or I'm tired. I'm not tired, like I am tired, but it means that if I had to like pick any career path, I would still pick this one. That to me means success. I'm proud of the work I'm doing. And you know, that can mean like if you enjoy cooking, if you enjoy cleaning, whatever that looks like, if that makes you happy, to me that's successful. Because I feel like happiness, we're always chasing after that. And I think people put a lot of expectations and pressure on us that will if you're not like an actor, if you're not booking work constantly, then you're not successful. That's not the case. The fact
Love
that you
it.
even get a call back is success. And I feel like
Yeah.
we
The
really
fact that
need
you
to
even showed up to the
showed up. Oh
tryouts,
my
right?
God.
That's huge.
That is huge. And I feel like for me, success has really changed. Like the fact that I like my home, I'm happy, my friends, I love my family, I love my husband, I love my cat. Like that to me is success. And the fact that you know, I get DMs from people being like, thank you for the work you're doing. That to me is like, wow, that is
Yeah.
so much better than any accolade I could possibly get.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love it. I love it. So now the final question, although I said that was the final question, the final question is, where can people find you? How can they learn more about Mixed Asia Media? How can they learn more about the festival? Although I will be honest, I'm not sure this will air before the festival,
No
but
problem.
they can always find out more about Mixed Asia Media and then all of your upcoming events too.
Absolutely. So you can find us at www.mixedasiamedia.com, our Instagram at Mixed Asia Media, same with Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at Alex F. Chester, both on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, though I don't tweet. Let's be real. I don't do that. Yeah, we're online. I'm pretty good at answering emails. So if you have a question or you have a pitch, you can email me at info@mixedasiamedia.com. It may be a couple of weeks, but I will get back to you. I promise I won't
Amazing.
just like ghost you. So we're pretty responsive all around.
That's so amazing. Thank you again, Alex, for
Thank
joining
you.
me today. This was such a great conversation. I love having these type of open dialogue where we can just chat about anything on the show. That's what authenticity is at the end of the
Absolutely. Thank
day.
you for creating the space.
Oh, thank you so much. And you're more than welcome to come back anytime.
Awesome.
Love it. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining me in today's episode, and I look forward to seeing you.